RCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, now the latest target by the Trump administration's efficiency office. Here's ABC's Mary Alice Parks.
It was put in place after the 2008 financial crisis. It is a check on big banks. It's often tasked with looking at fraud and abuse from the nation's sort of biggest corporations. It's proud of the fact that it says that it has saved Americans $20 billion in basically lawsuits against some of the biggest corporations in this country.
President Trump now vowing to impose 25% tariffs on steel and aluminum imports. European Union leaders say if that happens, expect counter tariffs. Egg prices soaring still due to bird flu impacting supplies. Trader Joe's now limiting egg purchases, it says, to one dozen a day per customer. Super Bowl champions Philadelphia Eagles will finish the week how they started it, celebrating their win against the Kansas City Chiefs. The victory parade set for Friday. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7 and AM 1450 News, I'm Tim Thede. On Thursday afternoon at approximately 4:29, the Grant County Sheriff's Office was called regarding a male causing a disturbance inside St. Mary's Catholic Church in the city of Fenimore. It was reported that a male was trying to get into a locked room and demanding that he talk to a priest. When Grant County deputies arrived on the scene, they found the male in the front of the church near the altar, extremely agitated and yelling profanities. Deputies attempted to gather information from the male, but the male would not identify himself and continued to yell things like Jesus Christ Almighty and the devil. The male then grabbed numerous metal candle holders from the altar and threw them to the floor and one toward a deputy. At that point, a deputy drew their taser and advised the male he was under arrest and given numerous commands to put his hands behind his back and to get down on the ground. The male did not comply with the commands and then walked up several steps to a raised area and then turned his back, put his arms out to his side, and fell backwards off of the raised area and struck his head on the floor. Deputies then made contact with the male, and the male resisted the deputy's attempt to secure his wrists in handcuffs. Due to the continued resistance, a deputy deployed his taser device. After handcuffs were applied, the male continued to resist deputies with his legs. When other responding law enforcement officers arrived, they secured his ankles in restraints. The male suspect in this incident was later identified as Aaron Peterson, 38, of Fenimore. The incident will be referred to the Grant County District Attorney's Office with the recommendation that the individual be charged with disorderly conduct and resisting and obstructing an officer.
The Eagles dominate the Chiefs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens in New Orleans, where the Eagles beat the Chiefs 40-22. In Super Bowl 59, Philadelphia jumped out to a 24-0 lead in the first half and never looked back. The Chiefs blow a chance to a three-peat. The last time they lost a Super Bowl was to Tom Brady in Tampa Bay. Is this one even more disappointing? Andy Reid.
Yeah, they all hurt. You get this far. You battled your tail off to get this far. Very, very hard to do.
Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts awarded the game's MVP.
Offense was able to score points, to take advantage of opportunities, put points on the board, and then Defense played their ass off. They played how they played all year.
NBA, the Bucks with a much-needed win, 135-127 over the 76ers. Damian Lillard with a season-high 43 points.
I told Dame that he needs to be an aggressive scorer and an aggressive playmaker, and that's a hard thing to do.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to the mid to upper 20s for a high this afternoon with wind out of the northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, cloudy with some light snow showers. Not much accumulation, but there could be a dusting. Our low 8 above tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high of 18. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 22.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation, because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Do you know that Donald Trump's draconian policies are hurting children right here in Wisconsin? Dane County's Head Start program experiences outages. We discuss at 3 o'clock.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. News from the Center, WRCE.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with the fantastic Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 12 noon on this Monday, February 10th, 2025. It is a great day to be Wisconsinite. Welcome in, everybody. A beautiful sunny day here in the world headquarters of Civic Media in downtown Madison. Mr. Zommers, welcome in to the morning after the Super Bowl. How was it? Did you watch it? Did you party hardy? Did you enjoy the Super Bowl?
Yes and no. I mean, I did not party hardy.
All right.
I did watch most of it somewhat passively because I just wasn't too invested in either team. I did get the outcome I was hoping for, which was for the Chiefs to lose.
Really? Very good.
Not for the Eagles to win, for the Chiefs to lose. But that's about it.
Yeah.
How about you?
It was a quiet Super Bowl. I did not hang out with anyone but myself, and here was probably the best part of the night. I was in a text chat with the brothers Ewing, our good friends of Brady and Brandon Ewing. Of course, Brady, a former Badger football player and NFL player. So it was a little, and I said, like in the second or third quarter, I said, why didn't we make this like a Manning podcast thing? We could have had them maybe next year. We'll
see.
That
would be good.
But it was fantastic getting a little details on the game from the brothers Ewing. And then my sister Heather and I were also in a text chat as well during the game, and that was a lot of fun. So the menu last night for me was a bottle of a High Camp wine, $20. It was a Paso Robles. I enjoy a good Cabernet. And a homemade Chef Boyardee pizza.
Nice.
I fixed myself a pizza. Made a little ground beef, green olives, some cheese. So I had a little homemade pizza and a little wine and sat there and watched. It was not the most entertaining Super Bowl in terms of the game. Of course, Mike Clemens was down there. We were happy to have him on last week, a great sports reporter, as he's been reporting all morning. The Eagles beat the Chiefs by a score of 40 to 22, and quite frankly, it wasn't even that close.
No, most of the 22 points were at the end by the time the Eagles were just like, yeah, we won. We don't really care anymore.
Exactly. So it was, I think, one of the worst games for a Super Bowl ever in terms of, like, the play. I don't know what it was. Like, I just think that the Eagles were better prepared for this game. I think that they brought the big the momentum from the NFC Championship into the Super Bowl, and I didn't feel that was the case for the Chiefs on either one of those. And Brady Ewing, as we were texting, he goes, momentum is real.
It is. He said that's really a real thing, and he said I agree with you on that.
It is, and yeah, the Chiefs started off on the wrong foot, and they just were locked out of the game mentally right away.
Yeah.
They couldn't do anything because they were like, man, we suck.
And we were all. I was also having a conversation with the brothers doing it towards the end. I said, all right, guys, serious question. Who is the MVP? And of course, you know, right away, they're the quarterback for the Eagles. Good Lord, Todd. It'll come to me in a second. Anyway, Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts. They said, well, it's got to be Jalen Hurts, right? And I said, well, yeah, but I feel like it should be a defensive player for the Eagles because the Eagles' defense was just so darn good. And they said, yeah, I mean, if you could give it to like the defensive coordinator or the defense as a team for the Eagles, I mean, that's probably where it should have ended up because the defense for the Eagles was just absolutely fantastic. I think Mahomes was sacked 3 times, was intercepted. No, he was sacked 5 or 6 times, intercepted, I think, 3 times. And one of those interceptions, a key one, down within the 20-yard line was, or 20-yard for the Eagles, was former Badger Zach Braun. So former Badger getting a big defensive play for the Eagles on that.
On that one, the shame in Mahomes' eyes after it was intercepted. Right? I saw that and I was like, man, that's got to suck.
Perhaps the best tweet of the night last night came from Badger Barstool. I follow them on Twitter X. And Badger Barstool, about in the third quarter, they put out a tweet with a picture of former Badger Braden Locke, who, you know, had a rather tough season this year, and put out a picture of Braden Locke throwing as a Badger, and it said, Pat Mahomes in Super Bowl 59.
Oh, that's savage.
Right? It was cruel and unusual and absolutely accurate and hilarious. So big props to Badger Barstool for that, because I thought that was fantastic. But the Chiefs could have gotten the first three-peat of the Super Bowl. They were shut out. But here's something that you may not know. What is safe, there has been an NFL team that's won 3 championships in a row.
Yeah, I know who it is.
The Green Bay Packers did it in 1929, 30, and 31, but then they also did it in 1965, and then in Super Bowl I and Super Bowl II in 66 and 67. So, if nothing else, the Green Bay Packers streak is safe. Nobody has been able to put 3 championship runs together other than our very own Green Bay Packers.
At least for now.
Right. Come on. They only showed, I saw on TV them show Taylor Swift maybe twice, but once for sure. And there were a lot of Eagles fans there, and she got booed.
She did.
And she did not look comfortable or happy about it. Donald Trump was also there, President Trump. They showed him. It seemed to be a mixed bag on that. Apparently, he left like a second or early third quarter. He ducked out.
As soon as the halftime show started, my roommate was like, what's the over-under on Trump going to the bathroom right now?
He did. Speaking of the halftime show, Kendrick Lamar, who just won like 2 or 3 Grammys, much more successful than I'll ever be in terms of like entertainment and awards, right? I didn't get it. I just didn't get it. I was texting with a good friend of mine. She's in her late 30s. And she said, yeah, anybody under 35, great. Anybody over 35 is like, what's going on? The best thing about the halftime show, in my opinion, and others agreed that I was texting with, the choreography. The choreography was fantastic for
it was.
For the halftime show.
It very much was.
Yeah. But I just, as they say, it ain't my jam. So I didn't recognize one song.
I did recognize them. The thing that always bothers me is when you have music that has a lot of swearing in it.
Mm.
And then when you perform it live, it's just censoring yourself and you're like saying words.
Right.
And then there are gaps.
Right. And I believe some of it was
words.
I think some of it was lip synced for that reason.
A little bit, but yeah. Most, you could tell when it was lip synced. Usually he didn't have his microphone up because I think he's right. Someone who doesn't want to be seen as being fake.
Yeah.
And so, like, when it was part of the recording, he just didn't have his mic up.
Was it Serena Williams who was dancing in part of it with the choreography? I think the tennis great.
Or SZA? I don't know who it was.
Somebody told me it was a Serena Williams. Maybe not.
I don't know.
Anyway, the choreography was great. I didn't care. Bring back Bruno Mars for my money. I mean, Bruno Mars.
That was a fantastic show.
He killed it.
He did.
He killed it. So, I don't know. They're at the Super Bowl. I know Jane and Greg and Matt and Aaron Air were just going through some of the ads. We could talk a little bit about that here in a minute. Well, here was one of my favorites of the night. And I thought overall, this year's class of Super Bowl ads was weak.
I have some thoughts on why that we can
I didn't think it was great. But here's one towards the end of the Super Bowl for Jeep. We're not going to play all of it because it was like a 2-minute ad. But it starts out with Harrison Ford, of course, of Han Solo fame and other shows, Indiana Jones, sitting in a log cabin next to a fire, and there's a dog, and he's talking about freedom, and he's talking about, you know, just being outside, and what makes America great, basically, is freedom. And then it turns out he goes outside, and it's an advertisement, a commercial for Jeep, and how great Jeeps are. And here's kind of the money line towards the end of the ad, Harrison Ford and Jeep.
So choose, but choose wisely. Choose what makes you happy.
My friends, my family, my work make me happy. This Jeep makes me happy, even though my name is Ford.
he mouths the words, you know, Ford, you know.
And he gives, you know, that knowing Harrison Ford, like, right. Smirk and right. Raised eyebrow.
Right. I thought it was quintessential Harrison Ford. I thought it was well done. It appealed to... I talked about not everybody's going to take the same path. There's diversity, but our strength is in our diversity. I thought it hit all the right tones. I also thought, and some people are going to disagree with me, this was early on in the game. I thought from just a marketing standpoint, in other words, getting your message to the consumer, there was an early ad with T-Mobile and Starlink and saying that now T-Mobile has linked with Starlink and that satellite phone service is going to be available to people on their current phones if you have T-Mobile as your service. I thought it was shot beautifully. I thought it looked great, and it was super effective messaging. You can say what you want about Starlink and Musk and all that. I'm not talking about that part of it. I'm just saying, as an ad, did you get your message out and was it effective? I thought the T-Mobile ad was great.
I agree. There are some other ones. Like, there's one for, I think it's called Rocket or Rocket.com or something.
Right?
And they were like, the world is great. Freedom. Buy a house, right, or whatever. Also, use Rocket. I'm like, well, what's Rocket? I have no clue. This ad told me nothing. Presumably, it's either an investment firm or realtors.
But it was.
I
texted my sister. I said, I have no idea what Rocket.com is, but it got to me. It was kind of an emotional ad. I thought it was pretty good, but you're right.
It was emotional, but it doesn't tell you at all.
No, I have no idea what it is. I guess that's the point, is that people like us will talk about it then, and people will go, you know,
we just talked about it on the radio.
Right. People will Google it up or whatever. That's what a lot of these ads are, is to get post and pre, you know, coverage on them.
I specifically did not Google it and remain ignorant of what it is, because I'm like, you can't do this to me. You're not going to get me with this.
I thought the Lay's potato chip ad with the little girl growing a potato plant, I thought that was really
good. That was pretty good.
That kind of gave me some feelings as well, because it was just shot really well and it told a story. I like Super Bowl ads that are either really funny or tell a story.
I will say the 1-second High Life ad is one of the best.
Which one?
From years ago, where they made a whole buzz about Miller High Life paid for a 1-second ad, right, and they paid $18 million or whatever. And then it's just the guy who was the mascot of those at the time in a warehouse going, High Life.
Right.
And that was
That was pretty good as well in previous years. I thought one of the ads that did not work for me was the whole Duncan ad with Ben Affleck. And it was just weird. One Duncan ad early on, they never said Starbucks, but it was clear that the other side was agreeing, right, they were attacking Starbucks. And I'm like, well, clearly Starbucks is kicking Duncan's rear end. If they're spending millions of dollars, right?
In the Super Bowl.
Yeah. All right, we'll come back and talk a little politics. The Trumpster was at the Super Bowl. He spent a lot of time on Air Force One signing some stuff. We'll talk about it, tell you what it was after this. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Eyes iSurvey is proven to slow GA progression.
iSurvey gets GA going slower.
iSurvey or Avacin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. iSurvey can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. iSurvey may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about iSurvey today.
iSurvey gets GA going slower.
Visit iZervay.com. That's iZervay.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Donald Trump is president again, and Democrats need to take a new approach to combat this presidency. Part of that is recognizing the realignment of how we arrived here. In last year's election, one thing Trump did successfully was turn out people who might not otherwise vote. In Wisconsin, he increased his vote share in all 72 counties en route to the largest popular vote total in state history. How did he do this? Well, as I see it, there are two factions of Republicans. One is the more traditional country club Republicans. The other is the newer group, what I'm calling the pro-wrestling Republicans. In my latest column, I wrote about how Donald Trump transformed the party by prioritizing the pro-wrestling Republicans, and why recognizing this new reality is critical to Democrats' ability to grab a steel chair of their own and fight back. Subscribe and read it now at the Recombobulation Area.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, 21 past the hour of 12 noon on Monday, February 10th, 2025. Zobbers on the board. If you want to join us, you're always welcome. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. You can download it for free on your Apple or Android device. Simply go to your app store, type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Media. It's free, takes less than a minute to download, open it up. The first 11 stations are where you'll find us. Gail King at CBS calls that a deal. Talking about the Super Bowl a little bit, going to get to some of the more substantive news of the day in just a minute. But we're talking about Super Bowl, the game itself, the halftime show, the ads. Tony, watching on Facebook, says the halftime show is awful, just my opinion. Well, I agree with you. Oh, it was Serena, apparently. Serena Williams throwing shade at Drake. See, that's a whole other... So it was Kendrick Lamar who is the main act for the halftime show, and God love him, but he's in this faux war over accusations of... which isn't funny at all. Accusations of very serious sex crimes between the two of them. You don't know what's real, what's fake. I just don't think that's something you should be ginning things up for clicks on social media. So it was just, it's just a lot of hooey, in my opinion. Robert, watching on Facebook, says the halftime show made me reflect to my grandfather and his hatred of the music of our time. Yep, I've turned into my granddad. Well, there's probably some of that too. I mean, you're mid-20s, and you at least recognize the music genres.
Yeah, I think, like I said earlier, the thing that bugged me was the missing words and how it throws off the rhythm and the context of the song and everything. It just makes it less entertaining. But as far as the stuff with Drake, I guess hearing the songs that both of them put out, I mean, that's just kind of a rap thing to get into those diss track wars, which that's just part of how that works.
Yeah, I guess.
In terms of this... The thing that gets me about that is that you'd think if he makes these accusations towards Drake and Drake didn't do it, Drake would come out and make some kind of public statement like, hey, I did not do this. Anyway, here's my next song or whatever.
Yeah.
But nothing like that ever happened.
They go back and forth. And Drake, for those of you who don't know, is another rap artist that's very popular, as they say, with the kids. Also talking about Super Bowl, as I forgot to mention this one, and nobody loves Charlie Behrens more than me. Well, probably some people, but Charlie Behrens and one of his buddies, he does a lot of the Manitowoc Minute stuff with, They obviously got a paycheck, and good for them. Good for them. They were in this ad for
Nicolet.
For Nicolet personal injury attorneys. And the thing that gets me about this is, and we've talked about this before on this show. That was one of our What's Worse one day, about personal injury ads. You know, the Gruber Law Firm, at least they're real Wisconsinites that have put out millions of dollars for great charitable causes in Wisconsin. And they buy a lot of advertising that keeps, you know, Wisconsin sports teams on the air. And now you got this Nicolet guy, who my understanding is he's not from Wisconsin at all. And he's come into Wisconsin to try to take over some of this business from Gruber and other personal injury people. And then so he pays, obviously, Charlie Behrens a lot of money to come on this Super Bowl ad with him to, like, give him some bona fides, some Wisconsin bona fides. I guess the biggest thing was it was not even shot well, and it wasn't funny. It was just like a weird, it felt very forced to me. I'll say that. So.
Yeah, I got to agree there. Also, according to Nicolet Law Office's website, Russell Nicolet, in 2007, he hung his own shingle in a small one-room office in Hudson, Wisconsin.
Well, good for him. Good for him. I never heard of the guy. Here's something. I promise you, we got these cuts. Trump was on Air Force One. He went to the game, and he's talking about J6 insurrectionists and the Gulf of America. We're going to get to that in a minute. But I'm going to share with you, and my friends say, you overshare. I'm going to share with you something because I find it funny. And my mom, who does listen to the show quite regularly, if I were sitting with her right now in the kitchen, I could tell her this story. And she said, well, I could have told you that.
Yep.
So, and not too much. Believe me, I'm going to keep my shirt down. By the way, I'm wearing one of our lovely Civic Media t-shirts. You can find this shirt at civicmedia.us/shop or merch or something. Civic Media, a great t-shirt. So I wore this loose-fitting t-shirt because over the last couple of weeks, I have developed a rash on my right side, on my torso. And I'm like, what is this? And it got itchy. And then I had like some leftover something kind of cream, like, I don't know, just they put on itches. And I thought, well, all right. It wasn't calamine, it was something else. So I tried that and it kind of took away part of the itching, but now it's gotten bigger. So it's like the size of almost my hand on my side. And I'm like, I suppose I better go to the doctor for this. So I go to the doctor this morning and he looks me over and he's at, have you got new clothes? Have you changed detergent? A laundry list of questions. And then he examines it and he's like, I don't know what this is. And then he starts asking other questions. Oh, well, what have you been doing? What side of the bed do you sleep on? And I said, well, the one thing that I've been doing a lot more of is I'm on my phone constantly for work because of the volume of news. And I'm embarrassed to tell you this, but my iPhone tells me that last week, my average daily screen time was 8 hours.
Oh my gosh. That's not good.
8 hours a day.
Yeah, that's not good.
Because I don't want to miss anything. I feel like I always have to be on it so I can share with all of you. Well, when I sit in like my recliner at home or even at my desk in my chair, I have my phone in my right hand and I usually scroll with my left thumb like this for those of you watching, watching on the stream. And so my right arm is down at my side. And my doctor tells me he believes the rash on my torso was caused by the amount of time my elbow and arm has been rubbing against my side while I've been on my phone. That is where I'm at in my life.
Yeah, that's not good.
So I can report to you the good news is I saw my friend Kristen Sopper, who I used to work with at L.L. Bean, and we went out for a long walk on Sunday morning outside.
There you go.
So don't be like Todd. And by the way, everything's fine. It's not contagious. I wish I could tell you that I had an STI from some action, but no, it wasn't that fun. It was just from being on my phone looking at the news. We'll come back and talk about it with news, no rash, after this on Civic Media's Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
If cover crops are new territory for your farm, there's a group out there ready to coach you up. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report, along with you on a Monday. Tegan Duffy is a soil health specialist with Farmers for Soil Health. The program provides incentives for growers to use cover crops, and they've got cover crop coaches available to help you manage those covers.
Here in Wisconsin, we have three coaches funded by a grant through General Mills, and they are all very experienced with cover crops. One of them is an agronomist, and the other two actually have farms themselves. So enrollees in the program get access to them for free. They can kind of call them up whenever, ask them questions. We try to make sure that we're getting the coaches out on farm to, you know, see what's going on there. So that's a resource we have. And so far, I think it's the coolest part of our program, kind of having a peer-to-peer mentor.
Soil health specialist Tegan Duffy along with us. You can find a cover crop coach by searching Farmers for Soil Health online. Stick around for a look at your midday commodity prices up next.
Come on along. We're headed to the Canadian Rockies. I'm Pam Yonke, inviting you to join me July 26th through August 4th. We'll begin at Calgary's Living History Museum. Then it's off to Banff for a guided tour. Next, we board a Via Rail train for phenomenal views of the Canadian Rockies. Off to Vancouver for award-winning wines at Lulu Island Winery. Then we ferry to Vancouver Island to visit a bison ranch and a dairy farm. Go to holidayvacations.com, enter keyword Pam to get a brochure or watch a travel show.
Loss of appetite, drop in milk production, and dehydration are all key indicators of HPAI, or bird flu. This disease is a threat to cattle health and farmers' bottom line. Help protect your herd and reduce the spread by keeping animals hydrated and eating with BioVet. Bovine Gold Light provides key electrolytes for livestock, and our direct-fed microbial products support digestive health and appetite. Learn more at bile-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Grain markets are mixed midday on a Monday. Corn is the only one trading up. Cash corn up 3.25 cents at 4.90¾, and December new crop corn up 3.5 cents at 4.69¼. Cash beans are trading down a penny at 10.48¼. November new crop beans also down a penny at 10.56¼. Cash wheat is down 1¼¢ at 5.77 a bushel. July new crop wheat down 4.5 cents at 6.01¾. Class 3 milk contracts are trading up. The March contract is up 9 cents at 19.53 a hundredweight, and the April Class 3 milk contract is up 6 cents, trading at 19.28 a hundredweight. Don't forget to follow along with us around the clock at MidwestFarmReport.com. While you're there, sign up for our morning e-newsletter. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to the mid to upper 20s for a high this afternoon with wind out of the northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, cloudy with some light snow showers. Not much accumulation, but there could be a dusting. Our low 8 above tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high of 18. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Do you know that Donald Trump's draconian policies are hurting children right here in Wisconsin? Dane County's Head Start program experiences outages. We discuss at 3 o'clock.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
I am room. Watch
Welcome back to the Todd Lawwell Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, 34 past the hour at 12 noon on Monday, February 10th, 2025. Zomer's getting punchy playing this hero. L.A. Tom watching on YouTube. We appreciate everybody watching on YouTube, Facebook, X, Twitter. L.A. Tom says, Todd, sacrificing your body for all of us. Bravo, you're an American hero. No, not at all. In case you weren't with us last segment, probably oversharing, but I developed a little rash on my right torso, on my right side of my torso over the last couple of weeks, and went to the doctor this morning, and the doctor believes it's from my right arm rubbing against my torso because I'm on my phone so much looking at news for all of you. I am no hero.
Another victim of the Trump administration.
Yes, somebody else said. I guess I shouldn't use my laptop more. Right.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Especially
if you put it on a table or right. a lap desk or something.
Yeah. So one of our callers in Cross Plains, so my daughter had a weird rash in August that started on one side of her torso, spread to her hands, thigh, one side of her neck and jaw. Doctor told her an oatmeal bath, no hot water, Zyrtec during the day, Benadryl at night. Another friend had the same thing. Weird. I think part of it's just like news stress, to be honest.
For you, for sure. For this individual's daughter, I guess we don't know how old they are.
I can tell you it has not spread really yet.
That's good.
Which is good.
Yeah. I had a rash that I got on like the side of my neck a while ago, like probably a decade ago at this point. And I don't think they knew what it was from. I didn't know what it was from. Mm. They just gave me a cream to put on it and it went away.
Well, glad it went away. L.A. Tom says, Todd, have you been in hot water? Some people get this rash from hot water. Well, I like to take a shower on the warmer side, but I haven't been like hanging out in hot tubs.
Not a bath or a hot tub.
I wish, but no. All right, let's get less about Todd's health and more to the news of the day. And again, I get this, that some of this is just goofy, right? But I think it's important just to mention it, to call it out, let you hear it in the original vernacular. So the Trumpster went down to the Super Bowl, first president to do that. The reason that previous presidents usually have not gone to the Super Bowl is because the Super Bowl is already a major security deal. Lots of work has to go into this. It's usually something that's targeted by people who don't like us, so they have to bring in a lot of security and make sure nothing bad happens. Well, and bringing a sitting president of the United States just makes it even more difficult. And so most presidents have said, look, I don't need to be the focus here, you know. But no, President Trump says, I'm going. So they take Air Force One down to New Orleans, and they bring on the potted plant, Doug Burgum, former governor of North Dakota. And I think now he's the Secretary of the Interior, Burgum. And they had a very important announcement to make on Air Force One. Here is Secretary Burgum along with President Trump.
We want to thank President Trump. His executive order is what set this in motion. We signed a secretarial order as Secretary of Interior directing the U.S. Geologic Survey, who is responsible for the database, which is the Geographic Names Informational System. And so just prior to this signing, if you will, the button was pushed. It became official with this proclamation to call today Gulf of America Day. But now it's going out. As we're sitting here right now, our team is calling all the map providers. So Google Maps, Apple Maps, all the map people, that change will take effect this afternoon to Gulf of America. So again, fantastic. Thank you, President Trump.
So there you go. Doug Burgum standing next to Trump with this executive order, officially, in their eyes, changing the Gulf of Mexico name to the Gulf of America and claiming that it's on Twitter, pardon me, Google and Apple Maps now. Zomers, you have it in your hand. What is it?
I don't have an iPhone, but I just now opened up Google Maps, and it is the Gulf of Mexico.
There you go.
Just like it's named. That's what it is.
Just like it is, as it turns out. Also, one of our callers, as an aside or listener, Steve in Milwaukee, WAUK, says, is it just me or was it wrong that he was saluting during the national anthem?
No, you're correct.
And you're right, Steve. You're absolutely right about this. The only people who are supposed to salute are military people in uniform. Now, I think all of us say, look, if you're a veteran and you want to salute, and many people have their hats that say Vietnam or Korean War veteran or Gulf War veteran, and they're at an event and they salute during that. Look, they've earned that right, in my opinion. But normally, it's people who are currently in uniform. Every other president before Trump always puts their hand over their heart. But Trump is, you know, Trump, and so he decides to salute, even though, important to note, that he got out of Vietnam by claiming his dad claimed he had bone spurs. It's the kind of guy that guy is. So anyway, so they made this announcement, and Zomers is saying, it's still on Android phone, says Gulf of Mexico.
It's possible my phone just hasn't updated right, yet, right. But I also am pretty sure that Google and Apple would face other legal action if they change.
You would think.
Yeah.
You would think. But well, no, stranger things have happened. So this was great over the weekend. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, Democrat, decided to make an important announcement of his own. Here now. On via recorded tape, digitally. I just like to say recorded tape. Here is Democratic Governor Pritzker of Illinois making a very important pronouncement of his own. This is real.
I'm here today to make an important announcement. The world's finest geographers, experts who study the Earth's natural environment, have concluded a decades-long council and determined that a Great Lake deserves to be named after a great state. So today, I'm issuing a proclamation declaring that hereinafter, Lake Michigan shall be known as Lake Illinois. The proclamation has been forwarded to Google to ensure the world's maps reflect this momentous change. In addition, the recent announcement that to protect the homeland, the United States will be purchasing Greenland, Illinois will now be annexing Green Bay to protect itself against enemies, foreign and domestic. I've also instructed my team to work diligently to prepare for an important announcement next week regarding the Mississippi River. God bless America, and bear down. Thank you.
That's not AI or anything. That's really the governor of Illinois, J.D. Pritzker. Of course, it was a made-up, good-natured jab against Trump. But I thought that was really smart. I mean, naming Lake Michigan Lake Illinois is about as makes as much sense as renaming the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America. And the larger point, of course, is that we have an avian bird flu that has a possibility of threatening Wisconsin dairy herds. We have high prices going on that Trump's ran on that he was going to lower for consumer goods. We now have a situation where they're going after Medicaid and Medicare and Social Security. We have an unelected guy in Elon Musk, unvetted, unsecured guy, a private citizen, bringing in teenagers that now have access to all of our Social Security and payment systems. And Trump wants to spend time on this.
By the way, an update from my friend Troy in Mount Horeb sent a screenshot from Apple Maps. Mm-hmm. It is still Gulf of Mexico and Apple
still
Maps
Gulf
as well.
Gulf of Mexico. All right. Very good. Still Gulf of Mexico. On a more serious front, Trump also had comments on Air Force One over the weekend yesterday. Again, standing up for January 6th insurrectionists, like this guy from Pulaski, Wisconsin, who sprayed bear spray in the face of Capitol police officers. Here's what Donald Trump had to say yesterday about J6 insurrectionists.
You said you didn't want to honor first responders today, but you pardoned hundreds of people who assaulted first responders. Why did you do that?
Who? I'm pressing.
You are going to meet with first responders today, but you pardoned people assaulted first responders.
No, I pardon people that were assaulted themselves. They were assaulted by our government. I pardon J6 people who were assaulted by our government. That's who assaulted, and they were treated unfairly. There's never been a group of people in this country, outside of maybe one instance that I can think of, but I won't get into it, that were treated more horribly than the people of J6. So, no, I didn't assault. They didn't assault. They were assaulted. And what I did was a great thing for humanity. They were treated very, very unfairly. There's never been an incident like it.
So, again, Donald Trump was asked, kind of hard to hear because he was on Air Force One. The reporter says, you're going to honor EMS, first responders, that sort of thing, and yet you pardoned insurrectionists who attacked first responders, law enforcement on January 6th. And Trump says, no. I pardoned people who were attacked themselves. Really? Again, I take you back to federal Department of Justice documents that are open record to Riley Casper, age 25, of Pulaski, Wisconsin, who pleaded guilty back in September to assaulting law enforcement officers with dangerous weapons. Riley Casper was sentenced to 37 months in federal prison, followed by a 2-year supervised release. Also ordered to pay $2,000 in restitutions. Because he was at the J6 rally, insurrection, but his own words that he posted, Riley Casper, on his Facebook account, that he said were his words and were real. He said that under oath. He stated, quote, I pepper sprayed 3 cops so bad they got undressed and went home. Fought cops all day, unquote. I really don't believe that most voters in Wisconsin, including myself, believe that if you pepper spray cops and brag about it, that you should be pardoned, let alone claim that you were the victim. And yet, Brad Schimmel, former Republican Attorney General and now conservative candidate for Supreme Court in Wisconsin, bragging on conservative talk radio that he thinks that guys like this Riley Casper of Pulaski got a raw deal, saying he agrees with Donald Trump that these people should get pardoned, be let back out into the community. Cop assaulters, people who physically assault our law enforcement officers. I just don't think that dog hunts. I just don't think that most voters in Wisconsin believe that if you attack a police officer with pepper spray, that you should be pardoned. And yet Donald Trump and Brad Schimmel say it's fine. There's a primary election coming up this month, a week from tomorrow, on February 18th, for state school superintendent and also various other local elections. And then there is a general election coming up on the 1st of April. So I hope that as people go to the polls and vote for state Supreme Court, that you'll remember this. That Brad Schimmel stands with the most extreme Trump actions, including pardoning individuals, American citizens, who attacked law enforcement officers. Didn't just show up, didn't walk through the Capitol. These are individuals who attacked officers. And of course, we heard, well, this is going to be done on an individual basis. It was not. They didn't just pardon the least of the charges, the people that had the least of the charges. They pardoned everyone, the people that attacked law enforcement. And Brad Schimmel thinks that's okay. I find that ironic, being that he served as Wisconsin's top cop. I find it ironic that he's in his TV ads, he likes to have people in there. By the way, also not ethical to have current law enforcement in their uniforms in his TV ads. Susan Crawford, the Democratic candidate, has law enforcement not in uniform endorsing her, which is the correct way to do it. Come back, talk more after this. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. After 22 years as a commissioner and chair of the Federal Election Commission, Ellen Weintraub was purportedly sacked by President Donald Trump with this terse sentence: "You are hereby removed as a member of the Federal Election Commission, effective immediately." But as with several of Trump's recent actions, it's not legal. Weintraub may have made Trump's enemies list when she and another commissioner issued a statement in 2021 after the FEC's three Democrats and three Republicans deadlocked, subsequently dropping the campaign finance violation complaint resulting from Trump's $130,000 payment to porn star Stormy Daniels. Weintraub and then FEC Chair Shana Broussard said after the dismissal, "The commission therefore did not have enough votes to pursue well-grounded charges that the former president of the United States knowingly and willfully accepted contributions nearly 5,000% over the legal limit to suppress a negative story mere days before Election Day." The Campaign Legal Center's Trevor Potter, himself a former FEC chair, said in a statement, "In claiming to fire a commissioner of the Federal Election Commission, the president violates the law, the separation of powers, and generations of Supreme Court precedent. As the only agency that regulates the president, Congress intentionally did not grant the president the power to fire FEC commissioners." In a post on X, Weintraub vowed to continue her work on the commission. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Selling your cattle is easy with American Foods Group, a family-owned company bringing you the best prices and expertise right from the dairy, ranch, feed yard, or local market. Call today at 800-345-0293 or email info@AmericanFoodsGroup.com.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tom Walsh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along on a Monday. It's 9 minutes before the hour of 12 noon. I will spare you my singing today. Zomer is on the board. Glad to have you along. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Talking about some of the comments President Donald Trump made on Air Force One yesterday, amongst the frivolous and goofy, signing a proclamation saying he's going to force map makers to rename the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America, which has not yet happened. And on the more serious side, saying that, like Wisconsin's own Brad Schimmel, that Donald Trump still agrees and defends that the J6 insurrectionists who attacked law enforcement officers deserve to be pardoned. But that wasn't where we left off. That wasn't the only thing. By the way, I'm a former Republican and left the party in 2011. I'm an independent. I don't belong to any party. But yes, I've voted Democratic the last few years because I feel that's the only legitimate major party that's defending democracy, particularly under Trump. And I, for one, although I would have liked to have seen Wisconsin's Ben Wickler be elected the Democratic National Chairman, I think he could have done a lot of good, bring a lot of common sense to the National Party, because here's the thing about Ben Wickler that I've learned. He understands all of Wisconsin. And he understands that while certainly the progressive left have valid issues, they need to be listened to and incorporate what you can, you also have to listen to more of the centrist and even conservative Democrats of Wisconsin's more rural areas. And he understands that in this upcoming Supreme Court race, yes, you say, well, it's a spring race. They call it a quote-unquote base election, which means who's going to get their base out more, all right? Because it's not a quote-unquote sexy political election, the Supreme Court race is like president. So it's usually lower turnout. But I also believe that this upcoming Supreme Court race will also, not only just a base election, I feel because it's so close to a presidential election, I think it's a small sliver of voters who will help, not solely, but help determine who wins this election. And those are the people that went to the polls in November and voted for Donald Trump for president and Tammy Baldwin for U.S. Senate. And you can't argue. Some people say, well, that's made up. There's nobody out there like that. Well, actually, yes, there are. If you look at the quantitative election results, certified election results, clearly there was a percentage of people in Wisconsin that voted for Donald Trump and Tammy Baldwin. They split their ticket splitters. As my former boss, Scott Klug, said in one of his great episodes of Lost in the Middle about ticket splitters. And I don't think that the ticket splitters, the people that voted for Trump and Baldwin, I don't think that they want to vote for someone who defends January 6th insurrectionists that attacked law enforcement. And Ben Wickler over the weekend called this out and said, this is an issue we should be talking about in the Supreme Court race. So, yes, I wish Ben would have been elected the national chairman, but I, for one, am ecstatic that he's staying here in Wisconsin and bringing some common sense to a very critical, very important election like the Supreme Court race coming up on April 1st. Oh, Canada. Canada was also being talked about on Air Force One yesterday. He is relentless. I'll give him that. Trump doubling down on Canada being the 51st state.
You know, the prime minister said this weekend to a group of Canadian businessmen, he was at a private meeting, he said that your wish for Canada to be the 51st state is a, quote, real thing. Is it a real thing?
Yeah, it is. I think Canada would be much better off being a 51st state because we lose $200 billion a year with Canada, and I'm not going to let that happen. It's too much. Why are we paying $200 billion a year, essentially in subsidy to Canada? Now, if they're a 51st state, I don't mind doing it.
You said.
So that was the interview with Brett Baer on Fox before the Super Bowl. Again, Canada is a sovereign nation. We have no claim to Canada whatsoever. It's completely unserious. And for the sitting president of the United States to use that kind of language, okay, it's goofy. We know it can be a distraction, but it's also very inflammatory. And one of my friends made this point over the weekend I was talking to, and they said, it's not so much that these things, a lot of people know they're just goofy, but it strikes at the credibility of the United States around the world as a consistent democracy. And now the way the other nations are looking at us, particularly those our allies, people like Canada, Mexico, UK. Now, instead of saying, look, I mean, presidents may come and go, certain parties may be in control, but the fundamental foundational tenets of American democracy will remain throughout that. We are currently proving that is no longer the case. That now it truly depends on which party or which person is in the White House as to which tenets of democracy will continue. We are no longer a reliable partner around the world. And that affects how countries trade with us, how they relate to us, and which other countries then will take our place. China right now is making great headroads around the world. In Central America and other places, in Africa, that destabilizes the globe. And long term, that has an effect on the United States. And the comeback is, well, Todd, how does that affect my grocery prices? It actually does in terms of consumer prices. But look what Trump is spending his time on. Instead of lowering our grocery prices and day-to-day living expenses, he's attacking our Social Security, our Medicaid, our way of life, and alienating us around the world. Back with Hour 2, including what's worse after this. It's the All Balls Show on Civic Media.
News from the center, WRCE. Maggie Dawn.
Do you know that Donald Trump's draconian policies are hurting children right here in Wisconsin? Dane County's Head Start program experiences outages. We discuss at 3 o'clock.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. As fragile ceasefire talks are underway for phase two in Gaza, President Trump in an interview with Fox News' Brett Baer doubling down on plans for the U.S. to take over Gaza for redevelopment.
In the meantime, I would own this. Think of it as a real estate development for the future. It would be a beautiful piece of land.
Would the Palestinians
no
have
big
the right
money
to return?
Spent. No, they wouldn't, because they're going to have much better housing, much better. In other words, I'm talking about building a permanent place for them.
Arab states have rejected the plan to displace Palestinians. Elon Musk's government efficiency office now targeting the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which fights fraud and abuse by corporations. Meantime, the Vatican's charity says the U.S. plans to gut USAID agency were reckless and could kill millions. In Guatemala, at least 51 are dead after a bus crash outside the capital. Officials say the bus ran off a bridge. This is ABC News.